random art tips and rambles with Rafi.
Hola, you amazing artist. It's Rafi.
And Klee.
And we were doing the series of what artists need to give up. What we're going to do in this episode is finish it with the next three. So just to cover the bases, the first one was give up on the not enough frame of mind, give up comparisons, give up making excuses, give up working all the time, working too hard, giving up the uninformed advice, not taking that to heart, and giving up perfectionism. And today we're going to talk about giving up feeling selfish, giving up the need for praise, and giving up on the myth of what it means to be an artist. The first one is going to be giving up being selfish, because us artists are just sitting around painting little pictures and playing with our paintbrushes all the time, or our clay, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, we're just drinking wine and having existential crises and then sometimes making some art about it, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's all artists do. You have no idea how many times I've had people come up to me and be like, man, it must be nice, like, you know, to do what you do. I wish I didn't have to work so hard. There could be nothing further from the truth. When you are an artist, you are essentially running your own business and you are the one setting your own hours. And a lot of people think that, well, that means that you don't work as much. And the truth of the matter is that you need to really control how much you work, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, you can easily work way more when you're running a creative business than if you were working somewhere.
Yeah, you know, and what's interesting about that is that a lot of us artists actually feel kind of selfish. We feel kind of guilty because our friends want to hang out with us, or family wants to hang out with us, or somebody's feeling like they're not spending enough time with us, especially if you have your art studio at home and you're at home all the time. That isn't something that you necessarily have to face when you are going somewhere from 9 to 5, because everybody understands you have a job. No, well, I have to work. I have to go to work. But if you're at home and you're painting, and somebody's like, well, all you want to do is paint, for some of us, it's hard to say, well, no, this is my 9 to 5. And really, the answer is that's how you should see it, is this is my 9 to 5. This is my job.
So sometimes those feelings of being selfish are self-imposed, and sometimes they're imposed by family and friends. Last time my family was in town, I was trying to explain to them, like, I definitely want to spend time with you, but at the same time, I'm getting ready for a show and doing X, Y, and Z, and so I do need to devote some time in the studio to get those things done. And they were like, yeah, we totally get it. But then when it came down to it, they wanted to monopolize the time and the scheduling.
People seem to understand when you tell them that you are going to work, unless you are doing something for yourself. I don't think it's just art. I think it's if you get into any creative field, like if you're a musician or you're doing something that isn't the standard job, that isn't considered something that is laborious and you hate. I think a lot of people associate work with something that they really don't feel like doing, but that they do because they have to, because it's the only way that they make money. So when you're doing art and it's something that you love doing and you're able to make money at it, some people don't understand that. And it is self-imposed in a lot of situations because you kind of feel guilty, like you're having fun doing what it is that you're doing. And in all honesty, I feel like it's the world that's got it all backwards. You should have fun at whatever it is that you do that makes you money. It shouldn't be something where you have to go somewhere and do this laborious task and you hate it. And I feel like my soul is leaving my body every time that I go to work. Like it, and it's almost like people justify the amount of money they make by how much they hate their job. And it really shouldn't be like that, at least in my opinion. We should be striving to do the things that we love to do and find a way to be able to earn a living from them.
Yeah, and because of that feeling bad about doing what I love to do, sometimes I find myself saying, like, yeah, but it is a lot of hard work, to kind of try to relate to yeah. other people that maybe don't love what they do.
That's like when people ask me like, hey, how's the art business going? I'm like, oh, busy, busy. And, you know, I make it sound like it's all terrible. Like, yeah, I'm really busy and, you know, essentially I go into what's called a humble brag. It's like, oh, you know, I've got all these commissions and just really busy, really busy. And essentially what I'm trying to do is tell them, like, you know, I'm really actually working. I work hard. It's, I would imagine that maybe there's an insecurity that causes me to react to people that way, because that's the way that they're going to understand me, is if I tell them how stressed out and busy I am.
Yeah, so that they can say, yeah, I hear you.
Give up that feeling of feeling like you're being selfish because you're doing something that you love, and just see it as the world is kind of ass backwards. Maybe everybody should be doing something that they love to do.
Yeah, and everybody loves different things. You knew a guy in Chicago that loved being a hot dog vendor.
Oh my God, that guy was so passionate about hot dogs. I would go there just because he was so excited about hot dogs. I freaking loved his hot. I don't even know if they tasted any differently from any of the other hot dog shops that were around, but I would go there because that's where my favorite hot dogs were.
Because he was so excited.
Yeah. The next one is give up your need for praise. So you might want everyone to like your work, and that's not going to happen. If everyone likes your work, then it means that your work is very general and not specific to you.
Vanilla, if you will.
Yeah. It means that you're trying to create stuff that the mass market will like versus creating the kind of art that inspires you, the what it is that you have to say.
And that doesn't mean that your work needs to be controversial. My work, in the grand scheme of things, is pretty vanilla, okay? It's not really irking anyone or striking any serious chords, but it is my aesthetic, and some people like it, and some people don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like my work. A lot of my work, the motivation behind it is to empower people, to inspire people to look within for their answers. And it's not controversial. I'm not trying to get under anybody's skin. I'm just trying to say, like, hey, everybody's beautiful, everybody's wonderful. But there's still people out there that hate it. They hate the work, maybe because it strikes a chord within them or an insecurity or something. Whatever the reason is, they hate the work. So I don't try to create work that everybody's going to like, because people are different and they have different opinions about what life is supposed to be like and different opinions about what you should be creating and what you shouldn't be creating. I know in the beginning of my art career, I used to look for trends like, okay, well, what's popular now, or what is it that people really buy? And I would actually ask other artists that were successful, like, so what kind of art is selling right now? At not realizing at the time that that's a really, really silly question. That's almost like asking, like, well, you know, what product is really popular right now? It doesn't apply, because art is a very personal thing.
Especially when you are who you are in particular, and a lot of artists are, who are not trend followers in their personal lives. Your style is not a trend. What you like in music doesn't have anything to do with trends.
Yeah.
What you like to eat doesn't have anything to do with trends. So why would your art follow any kind of trendsetter?
And it's interesting, because somebody like me, who is a total breaker of the rules, was still trying to follow some kind of imaginary rules on what you need to create in order to sell art. Like, oh, are nudes selling more now? Is abstract selling more now? What kind of art is selling more now? And there is no answer to that question. It's just a question that drives you crazy. That's why you're better off just creating what it is that you want to create for your own praise. Don't worry about anybody else's praise.
If you like it, that should be enough validation. You know, but I still catch myself feeling a little giddy when someone says to me, you're my favorite jewelry shop at the market, at our local market.
Yep.
I have to look at that and be like, does that mean something to me deep down? Do I get something out of that?
You know, and it's nice. It's nice when somebody compliments you, but it is a double-edged blade, because if feeling good about you and your art is dependent on somebody giving you a compliment, when somebody gives you a criticism, you're going to take it just as personal, and in fact, even more. if somebody gives you a compliment, that's nice, but you got to remember it's their opinion. They're the ones that are looking at the piece, and that's how they feel about it. It really doesn't have anything to do with you. You thank them for it because they're sharing their opinion with you. But if somebody hates your stuff, it's the same thing. It's just their opinion. You might as well just thank them for their opinion. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It's just the way that they're seeing your art.
Or if they're indifferent to it, like art's just not their thing, or they're just not emotionally moved by it. You got to be okay with that too.
Yeah, you got to be okay with it. You know, it's really scary putting yourself out there, especially when your work is so personal to you, when you are creating pieces that are coming from deep within you for the entire world to view and to judge and criticize it. That's super scary. And if you're not willing to face that criticism and smile in the face of that criticism and only look for praise, you're not going to be genuine. You're not going to have an authentic life. You're just not.
I mean, it's nice to get compliments and to give compliments, but nice is about where the line should be drawn, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Nice. Nice is where it shouldn't be like, I live for praise. I mean, that's one of the questions that I like to ask myself when somebody's like, you know, when you see a bunch of likes on social media and you're like, feel good about yourself. And then the thought pops into my head of like a diva, like, I live for praise.
Or as Lady Gaga said, I live for the applause. Yep. Applause. Applause.
Yep. And the next one is give up on the myth of what it means to be an artist. One of the myths of an artist is that they are scattered, that they're like, you know, oh, this person's a genius. You have all these people talking about how artistic geniuses are all aloof and scatterbrained
and tortured
and angsty and introverted and poor and starving, or whatever it is, whatever description you have in your brain of what it means to be an artist, especially if you feel that you're not an artist because you're not more like this, that is an absolute and complete myth. Artists come in all shapes and sizes. People come in all shapes and sizes. Essentially, artists are just people who are creative and want to speak their language in whatever creative format it is that they're using. That's it. It's not because they are tortured or because they are aloof. None of that makes you an artist.
Yeah, look, your art could be a reflection of some internal struggle that you're having, or your art could be about how much you like flowers.
If you are an artist and you call yourself an artist and you are going through what people call
the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, the imposter syndrome. If you're going through the imposter syndrome because you don't meet whatever standard it is that you think in your mind that you're supposed to meet to be an artist, like you're not brooding enough, or you're not depressed enough, or you could only create art when you're sad, or you could only, you know, all of those ideas that you have behind what it means to be a real artist. Start questioning those. One of the biggest ones is that artists are scatterbrained, that real artists are scatterbrained, that they're not good with technology, that they're not good with marketing, that they're not a good business person. The fact of the matter is that you can be a good business person. You could be great with technology. You could be not scatterbrained and be an amazing, phenomenal artist. In fact, those are some of the basic skills that you need for running an art business, to be organized, to make spreadsheets, to make sure that you cut down on the stress that comes along with having a business so that you can have more time to be creative. I think that it's one of the biggest things that holds artists back from moving forward, is that when you are stressed out, it's hard to be creative. And if you're telling yourself that you're not organized, that you're not good at business, that real artists aren't this, that they're just these aloof people, then you're keeping yourself away from having a business.
Yeah, I think people just like to romanticize the idea of an artist, just like they do with other groups of people. And the romanticized version of the artist is great for movies and TV specials, but not necessarily true to life.
Yeah.
I knew a guy back in the day who was a writer, And I was like, oh, what have you written? And he was like, oh, I haven't really written anything in recent times. I have half of a story going, but I've been reading a lot of Dostoevsky and smoking cigarettes. And he was a writer. And I was like, yeah. I don't know if you're a writer if you're not actually writing anything. He lived the life of a tortured writer.
Oh, man, I did the same thing back in the day. Back in the day, everybody associated me with an artist. I look like an artist. I had the long hair, and I was, you know, very, like, dark. I kind of looked like a vampire at some points. So people would ask me, like, oh, are you an artist? And like, yeah, I'm an artist. But I didn't paint that often. I was more of an actor playing the part of an artist because it's what made me feel good. Now, I loved painting and I loved drawing, but at that particular point in my life, I had given up on my art career. And since I couldn't have an art career, I might as well look like an artist and be called an artist. The actual pursuing of the art career was way too scary. It was easier to just play the part and be called an artist than to actually go out and try to become an artist. That persona that I was playing was based on the myth, and it just made me even more sad. You know, it's like you have to be depressed in order to be creative. And like, I lived that. And because I was depressed, I didn't create anything.
Yeah, and I'm sure you were full of very long-winded explanations about your turmoil.
Oh my God. I'm still long-winded. Just imagine how long-winded I was back then. And it wasn't like inspiring or positive. It was just explaining away why I can't create the things that I want to create.
I'd like to add, too, on that note, that you don't necessarily need to have like a super long essay about the inspiration behind each and every piece you've created.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be this big story. Sometimes I make a piece just because I want to see how it looks and I like it, and then I find meaning in it afterwards.
It's one of the things that we talk about in our art news video that will be coming out this week, where some of the projects in there are just these simple creative projects that are meant just for the creativity.
Yeah, an expression of joy or a random act of art.
I create a series of little birds because I love birds. I love the way that they make me feel. I love the conversations that other people have with me about the meaning of what birds mean to them. Everybody has a different interpretation of what it means. I love them. I love creating them. There isn't any super deep meaning behind the birds. It's just something that's personal to me that I enjoy creating.
Yeah. And then it becomes a shared meaning for the viewer and for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, bringing it back to the subject, give up on the myth of what it means to be an artist. Define for yourself what it means for you to be an artist, what you are as an artist. You are a person. You are a unique individual. Figure out what kind of unique individual creative you are. Don't worry about whatever myths are out there of what it means to be an artist. You don't have to be starving. You don't have to be aloof. You don't have to be eccentric. You don't have to be crazy. You don't have to be disorganized. You don't have to be any of those things that people may have told you or that you grew up believing that artists are supposed to be.
And so I guess what it boils down to is give up telling yourself that you're not an artist when you are.
Exactly. And that's it. That brings the series to a close. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. You guys are absolutely amazing. We totally adore you. And that's it. Say goodbye, Klee.
Good day.
Adios. Total awesomeness.